阿弥陀佛。Today, people differ in their concept of Buddhist education from those in the past. They want to learn more at the beginning of their study, not knowing that their method will limit their accomplishment, whereas following the traditional method of practicing Buddhism can result in infinite benefits. In the past, many people have benefited from the traditional method and achieved in their cultivation and attained Buddhahood. However, at best, the present method can only help us to get a doctorate of Buddhism, fame, and wealth. But frankly speaking, it will not be easy for us to sever afflictions or transcend the cycle of birth and death. We should consider this very carefully. Buddha Shakyamuni gave lectures in many places, as did Confucius. In India, the Buddha and his students were invited by places to give talks. They would lecture in those areas for a while, but could not remain permanently. As most of the Buddha's 12,500 students would follow him, it would have been very difficult for one place to support all of them. Only after Buddhism was introduced into China did Buddhist monks and nuns take up permanent residence in what was similar to a Buddhist educational institution. This came about because the introduction of Buddhism into China was supported and financed by the emperor. In India, people respected ascetics who traveled holding an alms bowl and therefore would supply them with offerings. In China, however, people would have regarded this as begging, since the emperor who had invited the teachers respected them. It would have been unacceptable to have them roaming the streets begging for food. Therefore, houses were set up for them to live in, and people were sent by the imperial court to assist the monks so they would not have to worry about their livelihood. By the Tang Dynasty, the system of Buddhist universities had developed. Masters Bai Zhong and Matsu were the initiators of these institutions. Master Matsu was the 8th patriarch of the Zen school and the 3rd generation student of Master Hui Neng, the 6th patriarch of the Zen school. There is a Chinese saying that Master Matsu built the university and Master Bai Zhong set up the rules. What is this Buddhist university? It was the systematization of Buddhist teaching, the next step after what had been the verbal passing of the teachings from a teacher to private students. After Master Matsu, the idea of a university continued to grow. This educational system was the special feature of Chinese Buddhism. The textbooks, lectures, and teaching methods all attained the highest level of artistry, as we can see in the writings, music, images, architecture, offering implements, etc. Today, however, many of these perfect teachings have been lost to us. Today, the quality of Buddhist music has deteriorated. We are short of talented people, not only Buddhist artists with creative talents. Therefore, a Buddhist artist has to be profoundly learned, for only then can she or he truly teach others and convey truth, goodness, beauty, and wisdom. Ancient masters with high spiritual achievement composed Buddhist musical lyrics. But because of the minds of today's people who chant them are not pure, their expression of them is also not pure. Spiritually, they have yet to achieve a state of awakening and are thus unable to move us. The artistic decline is caused by the lack of talented practitioners. Does not mean that Buddhism lacks artistic substance. Anyone who has been to China and visited the Dunhuang murals or the Yungang grottos or the stone sutra texts found in Fangshan County, Beijing, knows how magnificent Chinese Buddhist artistries can be. The stone sutras were found in the years after the Cultural Revolution and are more extensive than the great Buddhist canon. Some of the sutras were translated at a later time than those in the canon. Fortunately, they survived in the Fangshan site. The stone slabs are carved on both sides with characters as large as a thumb. The entire project took 400 years to complete, equal in scale to the building of the Great Wall. This recently discovered collection contains tens of thousands of stone slabs stored in 7 caves. At present, only 2 of the caves are open to the public. We were filled with awe and admiration when we saw these stone sutras and could not help but admire our ancestors for having preserved such a legacy for us. Today, schools and museums are separated. However, the system of Buddhist universities is similar to a combination of a school and museum. For the art forms are educational, not just artistic. They exhibit inspiration and wisdom not discernible by most people. For example, when people see the images of Buddhas and bodhisattvas, they conclude that Buddhists worship many deities, and therefore, Buddhism is a religion and a low-class one at that. Most people believe that in advanced religion, people only worship one God. They do not understand that Buddhism is not a religion, that we do not worship the images of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as deities, but rather, we regard them as teaching aids, which help us to understand the different methods of cultivation. One single image or method is insufficient to represent all phenomena in the world. So Buddhism uses many kinds of artistic works to represent them. Once we understand the educational significance of Buddhist artistry, we will naturally give rise to admiration and appreciation. All Buddhas symbolize our virtuous nature. All Bodhisattvas and Arhats symbolize the virtue of practice. Without the virtue of practice, the innate virtuous nature cannot be revealed. This complementary relationship is why the Buddha table includes images of both Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The Buddha represents original nature. The Bodhisattvas represent the application of this nature. This original nature is empty, as it has no set form. All creations or form arise from this original nature. And once there is form, there is application. The Buddha represents the original nature, and the Bodhisattvas represent form and application. This is why in the Flower Adornment Sutra, the Buddha does not comment on the teachings, for the original nature that is empty has nothing to say. But the Bodhisattvas do have something to say, since they apply the principles. Not only is the original nature unexplained, but also no thoughts arise from it. The saying that whenever I open my mouth, I blunder, whenever I have an idea, it is wrong, is said in terms of original nature, represented by one Buddha. Why are there two Bodhisattvas to represent application? The infinite and innumerable form and application are divided into two categories: wisdom and practice, or understanding and behavior. Practice corresponds with understanding. Understanding is the principle and practice of the application. When we see the image of Buddha Shakyamuni, usually Ananda and Kasyapa, two great arhats, are on either side of him. Buddha Shakyamuni represents our original nature. Ananda, who is foremost in hearing, represents understanding and wisdom. Kasyapa, who is foremost in asceticism, represents practice. We may also see Buddha Vairocana, the wisdom body of Buddha Shakyamuni, with Manjushri Bodhisattva and Universal Worthy Bodhisattva on either side of him. Manjushri Bodhisattva represents understanding. Universal Worthy Bodhisattva represents practice. Pure Land Buddhism regards Buddha Amitabha as original nature, with Guanyin Bodhisattva representing compassion and practice, and Great Strength Bodhisattva representing wisdom and understanding. Due to these profound meanings, there cannot be two or more Buddhas, three or more Bodhisattvas. Each Buddha represents a part of the virtuous nature. every part of it is perfect. So one is all. All is one. Each name illustrates the virtues. For example, Shakya means kindness, teaching us that we need to treat others with kindness and compassion. Muni means stillness and purity. The whole meaning of Shakyamuni teaches us to behave towards others with kindness and compassion, to strive for purity of mind for ourselves. This is the meaning of Shakyamuni and is innate to our original nature. Amitabha is a Sanskrit transliteration. Amitabha means infinite life. Pha means Buddha. What is infinite? Everything. Wisdom, ability, long life, etc. But of all of them, infinite life is the most important, for without it, we cannot enjoy all the other infinities. With it, we can enjoy all infinities. How can we gain these infinities? They are none other than our self-nature, our original true nature. The sixth patriarch of Zen, Master Huainong, said, self-nature is innate. From self-nature arises all phenomena in the universe. In other words, it means infinity. What method do we use to obtain this infinity? We practice the teachings of Guanyin Bodhisattva and Great Strength Bodhisattva. The former teaches us to be compassionate. The latter teaches us single-minded concentration of Buddha Amitabha. Great Strength Bodhisattva taught us concentrate solely on Buddha Amitabha, without ceasing, without intermingling with other methods, and in this way we will surely attain wisdom and enlightenment. Adding to this is the compassionate way of Guanyin Bodhisattva. Behaving towards others with compassion and chanting Namo Amitabha will enable us to enjoy infinite life. In this way, we will develop our virtuous nature and uncover our infinite merits and virtues. Thus, when we pay respect to the images of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, we need to understand that each is a way of cultivation and of the truth of the universe. Buddhist architecture is also an artistic expression. From the exterior, the main cultivation hall appears to have two stories, but there is only one story inside. The external two stories represent absolute truth, or the true reality of life and the universe, and relative truth, or worldly views still clouded with delusion. The interior single story represents that both are the same truth. To the deluded, the two appear distinct and separate. However, to the enlightened, they are one and the same. Upon entering a way place, we first see the hall of heavenly guardians. In the center of the hall is Maitreya Bodhisattva. To his left and right are the heavenly guardians or Dharma protectors. Maitreya Bodhisattva, known in the West as the Happy Buddha, is represented by the image of the historical monk Budai, who was a manifestation of Maitreya Bodhisattva. Maitreya Bodhisattva has a big smile that conveys, "Want to learn Buddhism? Be happy and greet everyone with a smile. Do not constantly lose your temper or you cannot learn Buddhism." This Bodhisattva also has a huge belly representing broad-mindedness and equality of mind, teaching us to treat everything and everyone with generosity, patience, and serenity. Only by emulating such qualities can we practice and learn Buddhism. Therefore, Maitreya Bodhisattva sits facing the door to tell all who enter, "Only those who can accomplish this are eligible to learn Buddhism." Standing beside Maitreya Bodhisattva are the four heavenly guardians or Dharma protectors. They are symbolic guardians of the practitioners of the Buddhist way. Whom do they protect? They protect us by reminding us to educate ourselves and to safeguard the proper knowledge, which we should learn. Each guardian portrays a different aspect of thought or action. The Eastern Dharma Protector symbolizes responsibility and safeguards the territory, which means that all of us are responsible for ourselves, our family, our country, the world. How do we fulfill this responsibility? If each of us fulfills our duties, fulfilling our obligations, we support each other and ourselves as well. In this way, society will be harmonious, and the country will be prosperous and powerful. The Southern Dharma Protector symbolizes progress and teaches us diligence. It is not enough to just meet our responsibilities. We need to make progress with each passing day, for a day without progress means we regress. He emphasizes the importance of constantly cultivating and advancing our virtue, conduct, wisdom, and ability to improve performance in our duties and in our standard of living. From this, we can see that Buddhism is progressive, always leading the times. The Western Dharma Protector symbolizes comprehensive knowledge and learning gained through exposure to the world. He represents comprehensive vision, the need to open our eyes to observe nature and humanity, to refine what we see and learn, and to distinguish good from ill. The Northern Dharma Protector symbolizes comprehensive study and learning. Both teach ways of practice and how to achieve the goals in responsibility fulfilling and in self-improvement. As the ancient Chinese have said, to read 10,000 books and to travel 10,000 miles. Reading is a means for accomplishing the fundamental knowledge. Traveling 10,000 miles is to learn from observation. Through travel, we see advantages of others and learn from them. We also see their shortcomings, which can in turn serve as a warning to us that we can constantly improve ourselves. In this way, we can build a prosperous society and a safe country. In doing so, we safeguard the Dharma. We safeguard the Buddha's teachings. So the images of the Bodhisattvas and Dharma protectors remind us to be diligent in the pursuit of our goal and responsibilities. So we can see that Buddhism is neither a religion nor a superstition. The four Dharma protectors hold various objects to symbolize different aspects of the teachings. The Eastern Dharma protector, or managing the nation, holds a lute, which symbolizes the principle that we need to refrain from acting with undue haste, but should keep to the middle path. It is like playing a lute. If the strings are too loose, it will not play well. If the strings are too tight, they will break. We need to be responsible in our duties and do things in a proper, balanced way. The Southern Dharma Protector of Growth holds the sword of wisdom that cuts away all troubles and worries. The Western Dharma Protector holds a dragon or snake that is twining around him. The dragon or snake symbolizes change. Today, everything is constantly changing. Only when we can see the truth will we be able to interact with ease and serenity. The Northern Dharma Protector holds an umbrella, symbolizing protecting us from all the pollution around us. While learning, we need to safeguard our pure mind and quiet heart from becoming polluted. Furthermore, we need to understand the true reality of life and the universe.